When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Podolski's in the middle. Here is Lukas Podolski! 2-0 to Arsenal! He's done well, World Cup. Plays across here. Mertesacker with a header! What a time to get your first goal for Arsenal! Per Mertesacker! It's 1-1.
Welcome to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast with me, Dan Roebuck. On today's show, we're focusing on Arsenal's past and present German contingents. Bernd Leno talks us through growing up in the German leagues. Nick Bromsack shares some of his favourite stories acting as translator for some of our German stars. But let's kick off with Poldi. Lukas Podolski was a cult figure for Arsenal fans. Here he is talking to Nick Bromsack about his Gunners career, his time at FC Cologne and his friendship with Reece Nelson.
Do you still get to watch a lot of Cologne games and a lot of Arsenal games as well?
Yes, because always, you know, as a footballer, of course, first you're playing on the pitch, but as well as a life off the pitch. And, you know, I have great memories as well, of course, in Cologne because I'm from Köln, but as well in Arsenal, you know. From the first day, I feel well in the club with the players, with the coach, with the staff, with the fans. And, you know, they make a song for me and always good atmosphere, always passion, and I'm still in love with the fans of Arsenal, and I'm a Gunner, and, you know, I'm looking forward to coming back one day, you know, to visit the stadium, to visit the team, and to say hello to the fans, and my heart is always there, like in Cologne or in Istanbul, where you always remember something when it's something good, and, you know, this station was good so far, so that's why I always, you know, always a Gunner in my heart as well.
It always seemed as though you had a very special relationship with the fans, not only in Köln, but in London as well, with the Arsenal supporters. That was something that you always seemed to place a great emphasis on.
Yeah, because it's always important, as I said before. You know, okay, you're a footballer, you play for the 90 minutes, but as well, the fans are the club as well. The fans are been always there, you know. Wenger, Podolski or Özil, Mertesacker, they always be changed on some days and new players will come, but the fans and the heart and the logo and everything will stay forever. So the fans are always something special. And the fans were special as well. The stadium, the logo, the Gunners, the Asian tour, what we did was great. And, you know, I have a lot of memories. And this is always good when you finish your career and you know you have great 3 years in London with Arsenal. You have great memories in Istanbul or in Japan or in Munich or in Köln. So this is always important. And when you finish something, you have great memories on and as well off the pitch. And this is important always for me, the fans as well.
What are the standout memories from your time at Arsenal and also from your time in Köln? I know you spent many years in Köln, had two spells there, and of course won the FA Cup with Arsenal too.
It's difficult to pick one because, you know, I always get the question, what was your best goal? But it's difficult to say because, you know, every moment is something special for a situation, you know. You know, my goal at Anfield, you know, for Arsenal, you know, the derbies against Tottenham. But as well, when I came off the bench to the warm-up in the Emirates and the fans stand up and singing my name and there are always memories for that as well. Not only after scoring a hat-trick and you are a hero, but as well the small things. Like I say, you're standing up for the warm-up, Wenger sending you to warm-up, and the whole stadium standing up and shouting your name. So this is always something important. Or the picture with the fans in Tottenham in the stands. This is, you know, as well a great memory. And the Asia tour and other things, other goals, the Champions League goal, the volley, and there are a lot of things. But as well, or not, of course, London, the city, the people who are working for Arsenal, the staff, you know, always friendly, always helpful, and you just have to come there, take your boots, and playing soccer. And this was something great in the club, and that's why Arsenal is a big and a great club.
In terms of your time at Köln, just a couple more questions. What are your standouts there? Because, I mean, it must have been an amazing feeling to lead the club back into the Bundesliga, to have the success that you did there being a local boy.
Yeah, of course. You know, I come from the youth and becoming, you know, the hero, the national player, a world champion for the club as a Cologne boy. So, of course, number one is Cologne. You know, I'm a Cologne boy, and Cologne, the city and the club, this is my number one forever. And I have the supporters. When I was young, I was standing in the stands, and you know, of course, I have bad memories. You know, I was relegated with the club. These are bad memories, but this is sports. Something's happened. You know, you not always only can win. Sometimes you have to, you know, you have to keep going with losing as well. Mm. So, but you know, of course, Köln is my city, my club, and I always a Cologne boy.
Okay, and just very finally, Lucas, I saw then in May 2014 you posted on your Instagram, it was a picture with Rhys Nelson saying that he was set for a big future. You must be really pleased to see how well he's progressed since.
Ah, yes, yes, because I know him when I was playing in Arsenal, so when he was young, because he had the same you know, sponsor like me. And, you know, I was meeting with his family and with his brothers and everything. So we are still in touch. And, you know, I see, you know, he's doing well every year. And is a good friend, is a young player, and is a talent. And, you know, I hope he will, you know, make a great career.
What was it that impressed you about him at that stage?
He's really fast, you know. And when you are fast or you have a great shot, nobody has. So you have something special. And no, he has something special. He is fast and he is, you know, skillful. And of course, you have to learn something else. But he's still young, you know. But he need to learn, you know, how to defend. He need to learn, you know, the tactic a little bit of the football. And yeah, but this is coming with years, you know. When I was 17 or 16, I was at the same level. But I have good coaches. I learn a lot. So I hope he will do it well. So we're still in touch. Is a good friend, and I hope I will see him, you know, in the first team soon.
Let's hear from another Arsenal insider on the Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Well, that was Nick Bromsack speaking to Lukas Podolski. I'm pleased to say that Nick is with us now to talk all things German. Nick, we've got to start with Mesut Özil.
Yeah.
And start with the story about how you were the first person to interview Mesut when he joined Arsenal. Just tell us about how that came about.
Well, it came about through the fact that my parents are both German. They were both born in Germany, but they came over to the UK about 35 years ago. So I always really grew up bilingual without needing to learn, which was very fortunate, especially now in the line of work that I found myself in. And going back, I think it was maybe the 1st of September 2013 or the 2nd that we signed him. And then a couple of days later, because Mesut was on international duty, he wasn't able to come over to London Colney and have his pictures and his interview here. So an old boss of mine at Arsenal gave me a call. I'd been at the club for around a year on an internship, actually, through university. And that was drawing towards a close. And he gave me a ring, I think it's about 11 p.m, and said, "Nick, need you on a plane at 6 a.m. tomorrow." And I was thinking, what? Where are we? We haven't got a game. What's happening? And he said, "No, it's for Mesut Ozil. Are you confident with it? You know, is your German good enough?"
Was it in the wider world that we were signing Mesut at the time? Or it was just, this was like before it came out?
No. We'd already signed him at this point. Okay. So it was all kind of done and dusted. And I was thinking, oh, I wonder what this is for. But yeah, he wanted me to go and do the interview. There were a few German players actually at the club at the time that I'd done a couple of bits and pieces with, Serge Gnabry and Thomas Eisfeld. I think Leander Seaman, who never quite made it into the first team, was around as well. And obviously Podolski and Mertesacker. So that German core had kind of built. And I think I'd maybe, you know, translated a few bits or done a few interviews with a couple of those guys. So yeah, it went from there. And then the next thing I know, I was on a plane to Munich, which was a surreal experience, but brilliant, especially for me, because I was still at a young age. I hadn't graduated yet. And To have that trust to go and do that interview meant a lot to me. And yeah, it was brilliant.
Of course, you've spoken to Meza over the years. He started to do interviews in English with the television over the last, what, 18 months, 2 years or so. But for a long time, you were the go-to guy, not just for TV, but for newspapers as well. You basically translated everything if a new national newspaper journalist wanted to speak to him and so on and so forth. I'm guessing you've got a fairly good relationship with Meza, would you say?
Yeah, I mean, it's very much a kind of work-based thing. I might be needed maybe once or twice every kind of 3 months to help translate something or interpret, or when Arsenal Media Group are doing an interview, it will be me that will do it. And yeah, I guess I've kind of got to know him a little bit through that. I think his English has always been okay, but I think he just wanted to make sure that first he was, you know, fully confident and fully grasped the language before doing those interviews in English as well. Especially, I think, in the modern day where it's so easy sometimes for certain sections of the press to kind of turn things and twist things a bit. I think he just wanted to make sure that he could really, you know, grasp the language and have complete command over what he was saying before he went to English. So, yeah, for the first 3 or 4 years, you know, most of his media work that we did here, I'd kind of be in the room at the time.
I would imagine it was different with Per Mertesacker, because more experienced player, a player that, as far as I know, always spoke English when he came here. What were your dealings with Per, and how different a person is he to Meza?
I mean, it's a funny story with Per, really, because he comes from the same region as my family in Germany. So actually with both of them, the fact that, you know, I'm a Werder Bremen fan, all my family are. So to get to speak to them was a real dream, because, you know, these are guys that I've grown up watching occasionally in the Weserstadion. So to then, you know, see them face to face, firstly, was amazing. Per's brilliant, you know, a really, really brilliant guy. And I can't speak highly enough of him. I did his programme notes, actually, for the last 2 years with him.
How does that work, programme notes?
The programme notes with Per were great. So he'd always give a time to ring. We'd have a chat, 10, 15 minutes or so.
German or in English?
Well, mostly in English. I think kind of the preamble would be in German, but then the actual notes themselves would be in English. And Per's someone who's, I think, spoken fluent English since he arrived at the club. So, you know, it's absolutely no problem for him whatsoever. So, yeah, we'd always have a chat for 10, 15 minutes before every home game. And then I would write it up. I'd send it to him. I'd say, look, you know, is there anything else that you'd like to add? Sometimes there would be, sometimes there wouldn't be. And then we'd go from there. But I think Per, you know, a great leader, a great guy to have around. And I think he's going to be brilliant for the academy, because he's someone who will instill quite a lot of discipline. But at the same time, he gets it because he's only just retired himself. So I think he's the perfect person to have, really.
A good sense of humour as well, I believe, because he sometimes does get lost in translation, the German sense of humour. Or does he not?
I don't know what
he comes across as a good guy.
He does, yeah. I think he knows when to be serious and when to have a laugh. And, you know, you only have to speak to members of the Arsenal squad to know how much he's revered there. Everyone kind of saw him as this brilliant father figure, along with Petr Cech as well. But yeah, a great guy. I think he knows when to help lighten the mood, and he definitely knows when to kind of make sure that the players are switched on as well. So he was a perfect guy to have in that dressing room.
What about Shkodran Mustafi? He comes across as a different type of character to me. Louder in the dressing room, louder around the team, London Colney, yes, no?
Yeah, I think he's quite an eccentric member of the group. He's quite loud. He's always got quite a bit to say for himself. And again, he seems to be quite popular because, you know, he's got that eccentric nature. He likes to have a joke. He doesn't mind making himself the joke either. So, yeah, he's a good guy to have around the squad as well, definitely.
We heard your interview with Lukas Podolski earlier on in the Arsenal Weekly podcast. Obviously, he was a huge character, as we heard from the interview. The sort of demographic, if you like, if that's the right word, of the changing face of German players in the Arsenal squad, because a few years ago, sort of before our time to a certain extent, it was players that maybe were coming through the academy, didn't quite make it. One or two names that some Arsenal fans might not remember, the sort of Maurice Voltzes of this world who went on to play for Fulham, Mendes and Stefan Maltz it was as well, who I don't think quite made it at Arsenal. Mm. But now it's senior proper players, if we can call it that, isn't it?
It's amazing, isn't it? Because four members of that 2014 World Cup winning squad have played at Arsenal, which is incredible, really, given that the club's not based in Germany. And then, of course, you've got the likes of Bernd Leno as well, who played in the Confederations Cup too, and there's a couple of senior appearances to his name. And in addition to that, you've then got the likes of Granit Xhaka, of Siad Kolasinac, of Henrik Mkhitaryan, all of whom can speak German too.
Just on Kolasinac and Xhaka, because Kolasinac and Jack have both played Bundesliga for a long time, both speak from Germany. Was Klasnic born in Germany?
He was, yeah. He actually represented Germany at youth level as well. He played alongside Skodran for a bit before changing his allegiance to Bosnia.
I guess it must be easier for them to come into a dressing room with German speakers and players they might have played with or against in the Bundesliga. Do you sense that? I don't want to say there's a clique within Arsenal with the German players, but it must make it easier for them to come into the club.
Yeah, they've all spoken of that as well. They've all said that it is a lot easier to come in when you know a few of the guys, when you can speak the language straight away, when they kind of understand as well the culture that you're coming from. I think especially, you know, for the likes of Siad and Mesut, they both grew up in a similar area. They both played at Schalke, so they both kind of know the way things work there, and they both came through the system there as well. So I think Mesut would have been a big help for Siad at that time, and for Granit as well, because, you know, he's played against a lot of players that are now his teammates, which I think has been really beneficial for him too.
One final point, and one final player to discuss. We talked about players coming from the Bundesliga to the Premier League and fitting in and certainly making their presence felt at Arsenal. One player has gone the other way recently. That is Reece Nelson. Started his career at Hoffenheim quite well. How do you think he's going to do?
I've got high hopes for Reece. And I think if you look at the Bundesliga at the moment, there certainly is a trend of young English players going over to Germany and making sure that they play. I mean, Ademola Lookman, he went to RB Leipzig, didn't he, last season and really excelled. Jadon Sancho's another one everyone's talking about. Actually, really good friends with Reece, and I think went to watch Reece's debut for Hoffenheim. And he's another one who's young. He's getting a chance to play minutes there and is really thriving. So my hopes are high for Reece. You know, he scored on his debut. He's played in the Champions League already as well, of course. So hopefully if he can stay in and around that Hoffenheim first team, a very talented group of players they have there, hopefully he'll benefit from that and come back to Arsenal a much more complete player next season.
Great stuff, Nick. Thanks for joining us on the Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Thanks, Dan. Cheers.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Well, Bernd Leno signed for us from Bayer Leverkusen in the summer. He spoke to us about his earliest footballing memories and his journey to the Premier League.
Hi, I'm Bernd Leno. This is my journey to Arsenal. I grew up in Bietigheim-Bissingen. It's a small town in the south of Germany, near to Stuttgart. And I lived there since I was 19 and was living with my brother and my mother and my father.
Can you tell us what it was like growing up in this small town? Did you know everyone in the town? Is it that sort of town?
Yes, I think 50,000 people still live there, and I still know there are many, many people. I have many friends there, and my family still live there, and I think after my career I will come back to the small city again.
When and where did you first start playing football?
When I was 6 years old in the small city in Bietigheim-Bissingen. I can remember every game there, and I still go playing football there with my friends on holidays. And yeah, it's my favorite football field in the world.
You obviously play on some of the best football pitches in the world now. How different was that football pitch? Was it a bobbly pitch? Was it very different?
Yeah, it's the pitch is so bad. But I think that's normal for a small town that the pitch is really bad. But with friends, it doesn't matter how is the pitch. It's just fun to be with friends, to play football with them and enjoy the time.
What was can you tell us about your first club and what it was like?
Yeah, it was the club where I was born, and I still have friends. They play there. Yeah, I think maybe after my career I can play there again, and yeah, I will never forget it. Many friends played there as well, and my brother played for the older players because he's 3 years older than me. And yeah, I still have friends in the club, and I know some coaches because the coaches are the same like 15 years ago.
So after that, you moved to Stuttgart. Tell us about your decision to move there and the experience of going to a big club like that.
It was an easy decision because it was a dream to play for a youth team of a professional club. And yeah, there was a big day with many, I think with 100 or 200 young players who wanted to move to Stuttgart. And at the end, there were just, I think, 5 or 6 players. And I was very happy that I was one of these players. Of course, there was, during my youth time, Jens Lehmann, Timo Hildebrand. I think they were the best goalkeepers at this time. And I enjoyed to train with Jens, because he was very good, he was very experienced, and he gave me many, many tips to improve. And yeah, I liked him. Next, I moved to Bayer Leverkusen. It was very excited for me because I was 19, and I moved from the second team of Stuttgart to the first team of Leverkusen. And after I moved to Leverkusen, after 3 or 4 days, I played my first Bundesliga game, and after 3 weeks, I played my first Champions League game against Chelsea. And first of all, I was on loan. And after 3 or 4 months, they bought me. And I signed a 5-year contract. And everything was new. And I was living my dream. And then I played 7 years for Bayer Leverkusen. When I heard Arsenal were interested in me, I was very excited. I was very nervous, because Arsenal is a big club and with a big history, with great fans. And of course, the Premier League is very excited as well. And I talked to Musio, to Mesut, and they all said Arsenal is a big club. And then I talked to my brother, to my parents and to my girlfriend, and they all were excited. And of course, it was clear I have to sign for Arsenal.
And can you tell me whether Jens Lehmann came into your thoughts? I know he was someone he looked up to before. When you thought of heard Arsenal were coming in for you, did you think you could follow in Jens Lehmann's footsteps?
Yeah, of course, because Jens had a big time here. He was a big goalkeeper. He won many trophies here. And I think he wasn't just a good goalkeeper. He was a big personality for Arsenal and Stuttgart as well. And
How have you found your move to Arsenal? Has it lived up to what you thought it would be?
Yes, I think I talked to Musi and to Mesut in the national team, and they all talked just positive things about the club, about the team, about the staff. And after 2 months, I can say it's like they said, it's very good here, the way we work. The coach do a good job, and the staff is very nice. And the team was very nice from the beginning, so I like it here.
He's done it this time! What an extraordinary way to win the title.
When an irresistible force meets an old immovable object, something's got to give.
Roebuck versus.
Yes, it is Roebuck versus. It is Dan Roebuck versus former Arsenal midfielder Stephen Hughes. Stephen, you ready for
one
the
winner,
quiz?
One winner. Here.
Ready for the quiz?
Yes, I am. Yeah, ready when you
say
are.
That
yeah,
Liam, Liam, the producer, is with us once again. So, first of all, tell us exactly what the quiz is. Liam.
Okay, so we're talking about Arsenal's German contingency this week. So, I have picked a famous German, a big German.
Okay. BFG.
Indeed. Per Mertesacker, he made his debut against Swansea City 10th of September 2011 We're going to go back and forth, sudden death rules. I want you to give me one player who played for Arsenal that day in the match day squad. So there's 18 players.
Yeah.
You can't have Mertesacker, so you've got 17 to get. Back and forth until one of you gets one wrong.
So 11-12, so this is August 2011. Arsenal,
September
2011. Is Arsenal at home?
Arsenal at home against Swansea.
Me and you probably did the game, Hugh.
How's your memory?
1-0, I'll give you a clue. There's actually four debutants that day. So remember that transfer?
Okay, I'm going to start then. Oh, no, you can start for one.
No, go on in.
Okay, so 17 names, effectively. 17 names. Okay, I'm going to go with Arteta.
Correct.
Koscielny.
Correct.
I'm nervous. Hang on.
You thought you were going to win it.
Is there a time restraint here or what?
I've got to think for just for a minute. And, you know, the listeners are playing along at home. You've got to remember that. Mm. Let's go. I said Arteta. You said Koscielny. I'm going to go for Ramsey.
Correct.
Yes!
Flamini.
You've been far too clever. No.
No.
You're out already.
You've
got beat. You got beat.
Robot wins.
I've only had two goes.
Yeah, exactly.
Who's the goalie?
Chesney.
Chesney.
Fabianski
in the squad. Gilles. Oh, Sanya's still there.
Arshavin. Walcott. Frimpong.
Wouldn't have got Van Persie.
Santos. Did I go out on the first go?
You went on the second go.
That's an embarrassment.
You're so rubbish.
Gav, another one.
Santos. Giroud. Park. Benayoun. Coquelin. Chamakh.
And you've gone out early on. I'm a winner again. I'm always winning with you, Hughes.
But remember, how long did he take for the first go? Is there
a time for it?
After I edit it, it would have been like...
Shambles, robot.
It was not an easy game.
You're at Arsenal Football Club, it's going to be big pressure.
Take the positives and, you know, look at the next game.
I think we show great determination.
At the end of the day, we're able to get a result.
Get behind each other and stick together.
In the end, it's something that's going to give you points.
The final word.
Absent. That's a terrific pass. It's Boamorte again. Mendes! Well, the young man, the surprise signing with the German and Spanish origins. Poor one from Mendes.
Well, that's full time on today's pod. Thanks to all of our contributors. You can help us out by subscribing to the show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts to make sure you never miss an episode. And while you're there, why not leave us a review and 5-star rating? On the next episode, we'll be focusing on Arsenal women.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.